settle in, get comfortable, let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvia Avery.
Everyone, this is Sylvia Avery, and welcome to Spirit's Work, the metaphysical and paranormal information show that is designed to help stretch our minds and help us to think outside of the box. It's all about sharing interdimensional communication that will help us to understand the nature of our existence as human beings and as spirit beings, because after all, this is what we are, spirit beings having a human experience. We don't follow any religious beliefs or concepts, but believe everyone has the right to their own way of thinking. And on today's show, we are going to be talking about the aspects of thought and how they are living things, what the mechanism is behind them, and how they actually come about. What drives you as a human being? What makes you receptive to thoughts incoming from elsewhere? Why is it that others are not so receptive? And lots more.
Hello, I'm Mick Avery. Sylvia and I are mediums, spirit healers, and authors. And I'd just like to mention, we have four books that are full of groundbreaking information and are out on general release. They are The Spirit Within, Spirit Walks with Gregory, The Soul Group, Its Meaning, Magic, and Imagery, and Journeys of the Inner Songbird. They can be found on our website at www.spirit-teaching.com, on amazon.com, or from any good bookstore in your area. They are educational, life-affirming, and altering for people to significantly form a more advanced and self-aware approach to the world we live in, life after death, and life in other dimensions. They're transcripts of our work with the spirit guide Gregory Hay, who will be appearing on this program today, as he does every week, as well as Spirit's Work on Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogginservice.com. We have another show called the Spirit Teaching Radio Show, and that's every Tuesday at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on artistfirst.com. I am a deep trance medium, and each week, live on the show, I channel Greg Hay, who had an earth life 300 years ago. I have the ability to completely hand over my body to the spirit world so they may use it to speak through, and I know absolutely nothing about what has happened during this time. I go into the altered state of deep trance, which is a little like going to sleep, and from that moment I know nothing of what happens until I come back into my body when the spirit communicator leaves. I have an out-of-body experience, and often, more often than not, I don't know where my spirit friends have taken me, but sometimes I do, and I remember it and recall it. To me, it's more just like I've gone to sleep for a few minutes, and it, however, can be 2 hours or more that has gone in physical time. I developed this rare gift over many years, and I made the arrangement to do this work with Gregory before I came to the earth to have this physical existence. And although I didn't develop this gift until later in life, till I was 40, we have now been doing this for over 11 years. And it's to say, really, that, you know, whoever you are, you do have gifts. Everyone has a gift of something, and that you can give to someone else that gift that you have, that precious thing. Basically, on our shows, we discuss a different topic each week, and the subject matter is endless, because the spirit world is endless, I guess, and the things that we do, not just in physical life, but in the spirit world too. The spirit world have a lot to say, and hope they give us food for thought in the things that we do in our behavior. So without further ado, I'll go into the trance and Sylvie will explain a little more about who Gregory and the White Cloud Group are. Over to you, Syl.
Thank you, Gregory. Mick.
I'm not Gregory, no.
Thanks, Mick. Yes, Gregory is the spokesperson for a group of spirits of higher intelligence called the White Cloud Group. And they consist of scientific minds of all description, They are eminent scientists, physicists, philosophers, scholars, as well as ordinary people. And between them, they have immense knowledge and insight. They come because there is a need for us to understand the nature of our existence, here and in the spirit world, and hopefully to point us in a more positive direction by helping us to think beyond the constraint of our human minds. Their aim, our aim, is to bring truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others and to restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. And I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're about to listen to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Nick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about thought.
Hello, friend.
Hi.
Hello, dear friend. Once again, then, it is with the utmost love that we are here. We are so privileged and honored, as always, to be upon this invitation, to be able to talk and discuss about elements of communication that are available in the spirit world and that are also available in the physical experience that we wish to bring understanding to those who may not be aware of how different situations become available in physical life and in the spirit life.
Thank you. So today we're going to be talking about thought. When does thought begin, or what is a thought?
Yes. Well, my dear friend, to begin with, thought itself may appear from someone else. It may not necessarily be something that is engineered by you as an individual. How can thought be transmitted is up for many different elements. There are many different situations that bring this about. Thought itself comes from a collection of understanding, from interaction between the self and something else. It may be from self to the environment, a reaction response, not necessarily something that is brought about or engineered by self, but is purely in response to something that naturally occurs. Now, this may be a situation that is described in the element of the spirit world. For example, thought is not something that is necessarily initiated by consciousness. Thought is something that can be brought about purely and simply through other elements, through the way of attraction between one spirit and another spirit. Spirit itself does not have to have a genetic physical experience in order to be, because it is a part of what God is, the part of is, as we refer to call it. The creation of all things has a part to play in is, because is exists everywhere. Is is the form of how spirit itself ignite one another's existence by their presence. They are not cells of a form or thing. They are the energy elements that are released, constantly ebbing and flowing from one place, one dimension to another, through the connectivity of attraction and depletion. So one being itself may look upon an energy of a thought process, an attraction of that understanding, being aware, perhaps, just of the presence of another within a given area, may bring thought or the process of attraction and intention to that other being's awareness. So what I am saying, dear friend, is that in its truest form, thought may be brought about or guided by another energy that does not have the same consciousness as you, or does not have the same awareness within all things that you may have, because it may come from a different sea, a different purity form. It may be that you may interact with a thought as a being on your side of life that has come from someone else who is not a physical state. It may be that thoughts come to you of greater proposition, greater intention than you had ever possibly come to realize in your own physical dimension. This is a thought from without, out your physical being state, that lands upon you, if you like, that is perhaps attracted toward you, or that has been propelled by the initiator to bring you something other than your own experience. In this way, thought becomes a living thing. Now, when I say a living thing, it does not mean to say that the thought itself has its own destruction or its own initiation into something else. But what it does is thought itself becomes a living thing because of the contact energy that is used to guide it, if you'd like, that is used to invigorate it from one place to another place. It is, I suppose you could say, through the power of intention that thought itself is thrust towards someone else or some other being. So I am saying this in the way that you may bring understanding to self, that if you yourself bring up a thought, manufacture, imitate a thought within self, bring certain elements of other thoughts within it and empower it, give it the energy of your own life form and your own spirit, you are in fact invigorating that thought as to being a very powerful essence. This may not be a thought form of purity, you understand. It can possibly be a thought form of otherworldness. It may be that the thought form you bring forward is something of hate or something of negativity. It makes no difference, friend, yet that thought forms of hate cannot last. They are not all-empowering as the thought forms of love are. Thought forms of love are guided by and have the energy existence of within themselves, because they are part of the energy of the universal flux of all life. And therefore, being that it is a loving energy, a positive energy, it is something that is self-perpetuating, whereas an energy of negativity needs other energy in order to continue its form. This is why we say, dear friend, that in the energy of thought process, if you wish to align yourself to a positive thought or inner awareness, if you wish to raise your consciousness, contribution to self and your environment, what you will do is you will bring forward the consciousness element of thought within a self. It has no place that you would bring negativity into that zone of activity, because you would, in fact, bring lesser attraction and lower your vibration in that state of being. So, my dear friends, when you bring about the thought process of purity, of love, for example, or something that is mechanically positive, then you are in fact invoking the power essence of the creative force of oneness, the duality of being in the state of presence and now, which means that you will, in fact, bring about the thought process of love and use that energy to invigorate it and continue that thought process. Even without your own physical body experience, you may then use it to send to someone else. That is how the actual process of the healing remotely works in itself in the physical state and in the spirit world. It is why you are able to ask the spirit world to bring their elements of love. How you are using the thought processes, the power of love, in order to invoke prayer to the greatest creation of all things, to bring that thought form of a positive energy toward you. You are actually invigorating that thought form, bringing a welcome awareness to attract that thought form to you, you see.
Mm.
So it actually, what you are doing is you are initiating the law of attraction to your form. And in that way, you are, in fact, bringing the vibrancy of self to the thought form and also invigorating other positive thought forms toward you. Now, I understand fully that many people may, in fact, be suffering from situations they have not engineered, that they did not bring about through their own negativity or whatever, that they were perhaps very positive, loving beings in awareness, that they were perhaps purity above all things within the ocean sea. What you have invigorated is not something of negativity, yet it may have been cast upon you by some other activity. This may be activity of thought forms of a past state. Not something necessarily connected to you. It may be something that was interracial, that's something that was brought about by your species, something that was perhaps initiated through the thought forms of others, inspired by their negativity, their greed and hatred, their wish to dominate other species, perhaps, has in fact inviolated your own space with their negative thought form. This is something that is very real, dear friend, that affects very many people on your side of life, particularly if they are entrapped in some negative field. Even as I say, if they are not negative beings themselves, if they are very positive and loving, it may even still yet affect them in a physical way. They may be driven to their bed, or it may even, in fact, invoke some violent negative reaction within their lives, something that they have not enhanced themselves or brought about themselves in any way whatsoever. And this just goes to show that negativity, sometimes negative thoughts, are brought about and initiated by those on your side of life, and that they actually join with other negative thoughts and become clouds of negativity that can wrap and enfold and prevail upon the most positive of prayer. How do you deal with all of these issues is something that we would like to discuss. Perhaps at another time, though, it is not necessarily that we will draw everything in within this one particular area of thought. Because what we have to define is what the element of thought is, how you actually respond to thought processes, and what that means in your life.
Hmm. Yes. I mean, what has the upper hand, thought or emotion, as a triggering mechanism? I mean, which comes
yes,
first?
Yes, a very interesting point of view, dear friend. You see, it is to say that thought as a mechanism, an operating mechanism, may be brought about in a positive way from people in the spirit world or from people elsewhere on your side of life who bring positive thoughts and loving awareness within their environment or who send this, as I say, in the form of prayers. It may be that you are merely reacting to something that has already been initiated elsewhere on your side of life, or perhaps somewhere within the spirit world. So it is to say then, this is a creation response that you make. What occurs is that the thought process alights upon mind. Because it is a powerful positive trigger, it initiates a pheromonic response to that thought coming into your mind. It may be something, of course, that affects you during a meditation process, or it may be something that just comes into your mind as an inspiration. That is what you tend to call it when it is a thought of a positive nature. It is an inspirational being that comes into your environment, that sets off a pheromonic chain of events, a chemical reaction, but also it sets off an inner awareness ability to transcend one's previous thoughts of what the what perhaps the text was, what perhaps the you were going to or about to initiate within your own life experience. Perhaps it came in the form of a picture or in the forms of language as thought forms. Perhaps it was actually in the form of a emotion event that occurred elsewhere on your side of life. You do not necessarily have to have motion events that are time related in your physical element. It may well be that these motion events have transgressed physical time, that they have been brought in reverse by the spirit world, perhaps because of the nature events of negative action or interpolation between physical species, you as physical human beings, with your environment or some other such natural disastrous nature that transcends physical time, as I say, and that these thoughts may be of motion event, or they may be orally or just pictorially as a still frame reference. But nevertheless, they may be something that carries information events, that carry different forms of interactivity that will be something that you may respond to in your own physical time element.
So you can be inspired by your guides and helpers in the spirit world without even knowing that they exist, if you don't realize that.
Yes, exactly. Yes. So that is what I'm saying. And I'm also saying that it does not mean to say that all of your inspiration only comes from those from a world without your own physical time-space being, if you like.
Mm.
It is something that also comes from your own creation, because you are creation of, you are manifesting different elements to your physical life. You are bringing about decision, judgment, and implementation of different thoughts and forms in your world. What tends to happen is that you react in responsiveness to different situations that come upon you. You decide through judgment processes, your understanding of awareness, of how that interpolation will relate to you, how you will populate some form of yes or no answer, negative or positive response to that scenario presented to you. This is something that makes upon your world every moment of your day. You decipher different things within the thought processes as they alight upon your mind, grown within you or from without your world. And this is something of the nature of response that you must come to grips with as a physical being. I'm not saying, of course, that all of this is a willing purpose, that you are not necessarily always going to be invigorated at a certain specific point in time because you see that as your only viable advantage in your judgment purpose. What you are looking at is perhaps a set of parameters that you see and have to make a judgment over. But this is not necessarily the only response that you make and the only judgment call that you have, because, as I say, you have these other outer world experiences that come from without you, that are not initiated by your own perseverance or your own intent, but that come upon you through the intent of others.
you said before, excuse me, you've spoken before about the fact that positive thoughts and negative thoughts release different chemicals at certain times. And you've talked before about aerolions that are released at certain times.
Yes, my dear friend. These are, in fact, particulates that are released from your being that are very, very time-sensitive and that are also initiated through your different responses. So that what I'm saying is that when you make a positive response, you give off these aerolions in order to raise that response to your environment. So what happens is, and this is a very mechanical nature of a human being, but it is also a nature of a spirit response. Because if a spirit being responds in one way or another, it is also relating and reacting by giving off certain activities. You would perhaps call them of a plus or a positive or negative nature if you are looking at it in the field of electrical energy. You see, but what in fact happens in the case of someone being positive in their response to their field environment, what in fact happens is that the auric field extends outwards and the vibration changes, releasing these energies of aerolions into the environment, which means that different other energies react to their presence. Because you have done something beautiful, perhaps, something that is inspiring to the energy field that is around you, that surrounds you, that you extend your energy outwards and invigorate other fields of energy from other beings of other presence. So, in this state, I am saying, dear friend, that, for example, if you are reacting in a positive, loving way to a plant in your environment, then you are sending your aerolions into the atmosphere in a physical way and also in a spiritually initiated way. And that means that you are invigorating these energies and sending them into their direction. They are, in fact, then being able to react to this visitation upon them. They, in fact, come to them as thought forms and also as energy releases. And what this means is that they themselves release further pheromonic activity and also further aerolions from their own inner being. You see?
Mm.
And gradually, this is why when you walk into a forest, shall we say, or a beautiful environment, and you react to that environment, the reaction that you have made to that environment only lifts the inspiration of that environment to be a greater energy, because you are bringing your synergy, your perfectness, or in relation to understanding the beauty of that environment, to that perfect at one state. You are raising your vibration. Therefore, you, by doing that very physical act, even in a spiritual way, you are also creating that inner awareness within yourself. You are also creating an outer awareness within your environment, so it, in fact, reacts to you. You will then be more invigorated, release more, you see?
Mm.
And other beings continue to respond to you. As I say, this is not purely a physical pheromonic activity, trigger response and release. It is also to do with this other within a nature that releases the energy form throughout your auric field that touches their auric field. And that is what we are talking about when we refer to the aerolion activity within a self-state being during perhaps a meditative practice, or during perhaps a time when you have raised your vibration in order to create a greater response within self-awareness, or perhaps that you are relating to thought in coming from someone else's activity that is of positive intent. Therefore, they themselves are raising your vibration in response to the beautifying impact of the thoughts relayed.
I'd like to say thank you for those who may have just joined us on Spirit's Work. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about thought. Welcome. So, carrying on with the meditation subject, I'm thinking about patterns. Do thoughts go in patterns? It seems like you have to go through a cycle when your mind comes in, when you're trying to still your mind and think of nothing and empty it.
Yes.
It seems like once your mind does come in, the thought has to sort of like run its course, and then it suddenly stops, and then you can go back into the meditation until it may pop in again.
Yes, quite so. But this is why we say, dear friend, that if you, whilst you are in the meditative state, if you are seeking the greatest awareness, then you will bring and be very careful about the attraction of energy you relay to whatever thoughts come into your mind. Is the thought that is in your mind coming from within an awareness of your own self state, or is it something that is coming from without of you? If it is from within a state of awareness of your own self, it is something that you would wish to leave behind. So, therefore, if you give that thought less attraction, if you do not invite your intention upon that thought, and instead just allow it to be present within you, the less attraction that you give it, then the thought will pass away. It will not ever resurface. Just by you giving it less attraction does not mean to say that you have violated its positive energy or its state. It does not mean to say that it will always be lost. It just means that you are, because you are using the mechanical brain, because of the fact that that is the organism that you are having to deal with in your inner state of awareness, being that you are a physical being, it simply means that in order to overcome these situations of thought, awareness, and how you may deal with them, intending to be still and at peace, to be in the state of is, can purely be that you bring less attraction to the thought that manifests itself, that becomes occupying, an occupying force, should I say, within your state of being.
Okay, thank you. So it seems like you've talked before that our mind and our brain are two separate things.
Yes.
With that in mind, then, we have our mind, our brain, and our spirit that seems to be all three could instigate a thought.
Absolutely so. That is very true. Yes.
So we wouldn't necessarily know at the time, obviously, but is there any distinction with sort of thoughts that you would be thinking?
Well, my dear friend, only really to say that it is not necessary that you depict which thoughts in particular are from what necessary area. Obviously, many of the thoughts that are to do with motability with the physical state are to do with the physical brain. There is no relationship or correlation in any way with the spirit, and the thoughts that are produced within that are usually of a greater, higher vibration than those to do with motability or the facets of it, unless, of course, you are talking about developing certain aspect gifts to do with your inner awareness of self, in which case it may well be that your spirit has an impact upon the involuntary motability thoughts that may come from the brain function itself, and that in fact other spirit intention may well have to operate upon the physical brain function motability in order to sustain the vital life essences, for example, whilst you are astral traveling or whilst some other incident is occurring in your state of awareness.
And actually, could you explain the difference between the mind and the brain?
Yes, of course. The mind itself is within all cellular activity, is not something that is purely a functionate element of the brain itself. The tissue of the brain is, after all, vastly neurological, electrical activity that is a system of positive and negative charges that are displayed and are connective tissues within the brain function organ itself. These rely upon new contact. They rely upon different forms of how contact is made. So therefore, if you have a different thought form or a different parameter that you work through in order to bring intelligent design toward your judgment process as a physical being, it merely means that what you are doing is you are creating new pathways within the physical element of the physical brain itself. In the state of mind awareness, what you are looking upon is that different elements of your physical structure are actually augmented by what is termed as mind. That is not something that is necessarily within the physical organ of the brain, but can be at the extremity of your body surface. It may be perhaps to do with your skin. This is not necessarily, as I say, something that is purely reactive, to do with the neurons that are connective tissues, interconnective tissues, should I say, within the physical state of your being. I am saying that certain elements of your tissue status may well continue with their essence of memory, with their state of awareness as a product of and a configuration of your mind. That is to say then that your mind may also have an interaction with your auric field, with your state and intention of the way your energy refluxes and infiltrates your physical being and moves beyond it to other dimensional states. This means then, friend, that gradually as you walk through your life, you will become invigorated and empowered by different interactivity as your nature of persistence continues throughout your life plan. Gradually, as different moments come upon you, you make different judgments. These judgments become signatories within different elements of your thought process. It may be your mind will interpret these different functions so that you can make judgments upon them. It isn't to say that mind is located necessarily within a certain place or orbit surrounding a specific organ either, but that this may be transferred, if an organ is transferred, to someone else. And this is why that some people, only some of course, may interact with different cellular memories or different activities of mind retention from previous occupants of that cellular memory. It is how you, as a being, for example, who has been donated an organ, will graduate towards certain elements of the thought form that was once surrounding and a part of the signature elements of the cellular memory of that organ space.
Yes, we've heard that for many years now.
Yes, quite so. And this is a very real physical thing, you see.
Mm.
It isn't something that is purely of mind or spirit. How is it to say then in this form that if the spirit is non-connected to that mental ability, to that physical organ, shall we say, can that mind retention continue? It is because of the fact that the mind retention has been echoed within the cellular tract of memory. And that is why and how cellular memory continues to live beyond the physical space of time, and how it continues within the spirit world long after the physical body has decayed and the cellular memory of that physical body is no more. It may well be, of course, that cellular memory is released into the ethers by different ways of destruction of that physical state. It may also be that different elements contribute toward that cellular memory not being lost forever, but that are in some way invigorated by the cellular structure that has been preserved, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So that is why people may often have feelings if they are in the presence of or are in the awareness of different structures or physical things, tissues, that have been left and remain in the physical state.
Mm.
For example, mummies, such relics, ancient relics of civilization past, you see, they may very well leave the thoughts behind. And those thoughts, although they are living tissue things, that they still remain as cellular elements of the memory, because that is the cellular structure of the life form that it was.
And that's how you explain, well, that goes back full circle to leaving negative thoughts in areas.
Yes,
it
exactly
can be good
so.
Or it can be bad.
Yes, of course. It is why perhaps you may be given a ring or some other object that a person was wearing, and that mind-thought interpolation between one physical object and another, i.e. the actual physical state of being of the person who was wearing that ring, actually left the thoughts imprinted upon it, upon and within the cellular structure that forms that ring. Don't forget, dear friends, that every cellular structure that you have on your side of life is filled with holes, is filled with, because you yourself are not observing a fully physical solid structure. It appears solid to you because you donate that is what it is. Because of your experience and your judgment of awareness within your physical life. It does not mean to say that if you view it within a microscope that it will appear as a solid physical structure. In fact, it is full of air. It is full of space and awareness without. And it is within these spaces that the cellular memory of a life being lived is actually contained within it. Which, as I say, is why when you walk into a place of ancient antiquity, perhaps a place of where many prayers were said, perhaps an ancient building of great instinctiveness, great spirituality is brought to the surface within the very fabric of the walls itself, because the connotation of the thoughts being living things has an actual impact upon the layering of that place. And what you have is a film of the cellular intent of the thoughts being laid upon it, as well as, of course, the actual cellular intent of the beings who made it.
Yeah, so you just touched on what we call psychometry, where you can
yes.
read from an article.
Yes.
What about... So that leads us into other sort of psychic work. When we pick up thoughts,
yes.
when we see the telephone's going to ring, you know it's going to ring and you know it's going to be on the other end of it.
Yes.
What are you doing in that instance?
You are picking up the thoughts within the ether world of the that has been transferred from the physical being via the ether world to where you are. And that is what you are doing. You are picking up their intention. Their power of intention has been most dramatic upon your ability and your sensitivity. Of course, it will depend upon that ability and sensitivity for you to interpret that message or for you to even receive it at all. But of course, this is something of the natural instinct variation that each individual has. It doesn't mean to say that they necessarily still fulfill that energy release or that awareness. You understand?
Yes, it usually happens when you're not expecting it.
Yes, quite so. But that is because you have vacated your intention. Your power of mind has actually meant that you have brought about a space of non-awareness. But in fact, relates in the spirit world to absolute awareness of being, you see? And this is really what the actual real intention of what we want you to do to create when you're in a meditative state is this complete absence, so that other beings may bring their intention to you in a free way, in an uncluttered way, so that what you are supposed to be doing in the form of meditative practice is releasing your empowerment of intention upon yourself and your mind, your physical brain. What you are wishing to do is to allow that to be at peace and to be still. And in doing this, you will invigorate the power of intention of others and your ability to perceive and understand what that intention is.
So it's almost like we've touched on the mind not being a physical thing, and obviously that can explain how when we go to the spirit world we still have our thoughts.
Yes.
And the telepathy and the fact that in the spirit world that is how you communicate with each other is through thought.
Yes, Fred.
So can you explain a little about how that works? How will we be doing that when we get back to the spirit world?
Yes, most certainly, dear friend. Well, to begin with, this is not something that is necessarily an automatic response once you pass to the spirit world. You may well, through trauma of the event or through some other activity that occurred at your physical passing, have to be retrained. You may well be given certain things to do, homework, if you like. You see, as a spirit being, you never thought that you would have to have homework.
We would have got rid of that.
Yes, yes, quite so. Well, you see, dear friend, it may well be that, as I say, through some traumatic event response to your physical passing, that you have to be retutored into how to use your actual mind, into how to use your consciousness, because it is your consciousness that is brought along with your spirit to the ether world, and it is all of the cellular memory of that consciousness that is transferred to the spirit ether world, which means, quite simply, that because that you have all of your cellular memory intact, that you have all of your other memory intact, everything that happened in your life, everything that was initiated through it, but you need to be taught how to actually use that, how to gather your power of intention and creation again once you are in the spirit world. For some people, of course, they may not have to do this. It will depend upon their ability that they use to create their inner awareness within their physical life. It may well be that you yourself became completely aware within your physical life of your power of intention and your creativity response to do with your physical life and your spirit, in which case your connectivity will be so strong that you will continue to use that connectivity simply just like walking into another room when at the time of your passing. So this means then, dear friend, that even for those who have been, shall we say, difficult in their physical life, who have not responded in one way or another at all to their spirituality, their awareness of inner awareness of self, that in fact what they have created is something of a dullness of their, due to their negativity perhaps, or to the things that they orchestrated in their physical life. It merely means that what will occur is that this retraining will be given perhaps by their genetic ancestry, perhaps by others within their soul group, others who love them beyond their wildest thought of what love could be. And it is due to this change of responsiveness that so many people find difficult to identify with oh, that could not have possibly been them, as they receive a message back from their spirited loved one, because they were always so miserable. How could they possibly turn that around? You see, it is purely and simply because they have brought about a new awareness, created a different awareness through their response to their teaching, to how they have been brought up to respond to their own awareness, their own possibility, I suppose, through their consciousness that they have brought with them to their spirit life.
So what about people that, because here people can be deceitful and actually say one thing and don't actually mean it. So in the spirit world, can that happen? Or can you tell if somebody's telling lies and that they are saying that they are, say, turning over a new leaf or whatever just for the sake of it?
Yes, my dear friend, it is quite easy. A lie is red.
Oh, wow.
It has the colour of red in it.
Well, that's fascinating.
And in the spirit world, that is the response that we get when we are observing someone who is giving a false statement, that what they do is their auric field turns red. And that is how we know that the response they are making to their own inner state of awareness, or perhaps the thoughts they are bringing to themselves, is something of a negativity. Now, this is not something that is associated to the practices of thoughts of hell and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is merely that it is a trigger response to the absolute purity of what we see. For example, if you are looking at someone who is in a present state of beautified awareness, positivity and love, then what you will see is colors verging from blue to indigo to violet to the calming colors of upper spirituality through to white, you see.
Mm.
And that is something else that we will observe.
Mm.
Similarly, someone who is having healing, it may be that they are issuing a green response within their auric activity or within the thoughts that they are bringing out upon their closest environment. And that is something that will be initiated and looked upon in the spirit world. It may also be pink. It may also be, that is not confused, to be confused with red, you see?
Yes.
It's a very different signature.
And can you see that with us on the earth plane as well?
Yes, in fact so.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how many of us on our side of life bring and initiate the spirituality or the gift of healing that we bring. It is how that we understand where there are situations of negativity and what we see in the form of negative responses to situations or thoughts eventing upon the mind or consciousness being.
And those, and thoughts in the spirit world is basically that is your means of travel, as it were. I mean, you can be anywhere, but just within a thought.
Yes.
Which is, I think, is probably one of the most difficult things for us to get our minds around, really.
Yes, quite. But that is because you perhaps do not necessarily fully correlate with your observance of the motive of what thought is. Now, if I may take just a moment quickly to explain that if you are having a dream state experience and that it is in fact transcended into an out-of-body experience, so you are having a journey to the spirit world, what you in fact experience is something of a transcendence of time, because what you experience in the thought form process is that images come and go, that your experience of motability is somewhat quicker than anything that you could ever experience in physical life. It is a reality experience, but that it is happening to you through the ability, through the availability of images. And as those images transcend, it is not that they are purposely moving the film forward faster for you to experience that. It is, or that your mind or your intention of your brain activity has made that happen. What it really means is that you are actually experiencing that intention caused by the spirit world and their gift of what they wish you to see and observe. So what you have done in that aspect is you have transcended the processes of physical time, and that actually what you respond to is a completely different orchestration of how time is relayed in the spirit world, because of course there is no physical time in the spirit world. It is merely an abject thing that exists within physical reality and is to do with your own present time and space.
And that can happen in meditation as well as sleep state,
can't it? Of course it can, yes, dear Finn. And that is how different states of reality are altered within your being, consciousness, awareness, so that you may understand that different events have happened without the experience prior to you having known it. So it doesn't mean to say that you would have to experience this knowledge or this awareness in order to experience it, that it can actually come upon you without your experience. Because it is something that is brought to you from without the within of self, if you understand me.
Yeah, we've just got 2 minutes left. But so
yes,
would you say that thinking good thoughts, positive, loving thoughts will keep you healthy?
Yes, my dear friend, because it will actually alter the structure of your physical state. Your cellular structure will be invigorated by the positive invigoration of the thoughts that you have, the energy that comes around them. Now, it is not to say that people who are positive will never become ill, because there are systematic genetic orientations that will happen to any physical being, because that is your physical state. It isn't to say that you have lessened the impact either necessarily because you are happy, because you are bringing positivity to it. But the chances are that by being positive and not stressed, by being invoking love and not hate, you will alter the genetic structure possibly of your self-state, your cellular structure most probably by that exchange of energy will be enhanced by it. Exactly the same way that negativity in an auric field that surrounds you may well degenerate your cellular activity and make it less meaningful to your life purpose.
So will you, and in that case, you will also attract positive things your way, won't you?
Yes, of course.
With these positive thoughts.
Absolutely so, dear Finn.
So you are the director of your own destiny in that respect.
Absolutely so. People are able to transmit their own negative thoughts into illness and transmit that illness one to another. You may even have whole tribes invigorating themselves in that way. You may have whole nations being invigorated in that negativity, and therefore they continue their cycle of violence within themselves.
Well, that gives us a really good perspective on things. Thank you very much, Gregory.
Thank you so, with absolute love, as always, the kindest thoughts, the most positive of love available to all. May your world be blessed. Goodbye.
Thank you. And as usual, time's run away with us. Just time to say thank you for those that have joined us today, and thank you for listening. Do visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out more about us on the website. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.